Hi everyone, and welcome to the Surrey Cultural Lives podcast. I'm your host, Beth Roberts, and today I'm thrilled to be joined by the University of Surrey's Dr. Helen Hughes, who will be telling us a little bit about underrated novelist Jane White, who lived in Godalming. Thank you so much for joining us today, Helen.
Oh, I'm very happy to be here.
I'm very happy to have you. So before we talk about Jane White, would you be able to tell our listeners about your work and research at the University of Surrey?
Right, so I work in film studies. I do have a particular emphasis on documentary cinema and activist cinema, but I range quite widely because I originally came from German studies, so a language linguistics background. At the moment, or in the past decade or so, I've become really interested in various women who have done amazingly interesting things. So I got interested in Diana Pine, who was a documentary filmmaker who recorded the very early stages of the British development of nuclear power, nuclear energy. At the moment, I'm writing a book about GDR filmmakers, so the German Democratic Republic, which exists no more. So there was a documentary filmmaker called Annelie Thorndike who made propaganda films, and her life story is just incredible. She was born in 1925, educated in the National Socialist period, filmmaker during the GDR, and she was just retiring as the GDR came to an end, and so continued into the period after that as well, an amazingly long and interesting life there too. So Jane White is another woman. I happen to be related to her by marriage, and she was a novelist. Interestingly, she worked and wrote at the same period as these two other women that I've been researching. So there's kind of some overlap between these three apparently diverse projects. But they were all working basically in the mid-20th century, mid to second half of the 20th century. And it's interesting there to see how women are, after the war, developing themselves, developing their careers, developing a consciousness of what it means or what it meant to be a woman at that time.
I love that there's so many like little links across your research and the Surrey Cultural Lives map, and absolutely fascinating that you're related to her via marriage. That's brilliant. For those who may not have heard of Jane White, would you be able to introduce her and her work a little bit?
So the thing that Jane White was most well known for at the time that she was living and writing was a memoir she wrote called Norfolk Child, which told the story of how she moved with her family as a child to live on a farm in Norfolk. or I should say, really, she moved to live in a farmhouse in Norfolk. The farm was a working farm, but it wasn't one that was run by her family. So she moved during the war, 1940, actually probably very shortly before the war, and then lived there through the war. And she describes really a very strong sense of attachment that she developed to Norfolk, to its quite bleak, very flat landscape with its big skies and very powerful seas. So that was serialised on Radio 4 over a few weeks and was repeated a couple of times. So that was the thing that she became most well known for. But she wrote a series of novels from 1967, which was the first one she published, called Quarry, through to a novel called Benjamin's Open Day, which was her last novel, and that was at the end of the 70s. So it's really a decade, a little over a decade of productive work as a novelist. Before she then died in the mid-80s.
It sounds like a really interesting and eclectic amount of work. And you know, on your post on the Surrey Cultural Lives map, that Quarry is clearly set in Godalming. I wondered how that sense of place affects the novel.
So in the afterword to the republication of Quarry, I wrote about some research that I did looking into her manuscripts, also reading all her other novels, to kind of see where she was coming from. And it seemed to me important that she was coming from Norfolk into Surrey. So she came to live in Godalming in, I think, 1963. Before that, she was living in London, and before that in various boarding schools, and then her childhood in Norfolk. And I think the thing that obviously struck her, and a thing that she spoke about, was that Surrey is in a surprisingly verdant county. I have to say that I had that reaction to Surrey as well when I came from South West Wales, which is very windswept, and all the trees are kind of very small and crouching against the wind. So I sort of appreciate her feeling of being overwhelmed by the very tall and verdant trees and masses of undergrowth and just general sort of opulence of the countryside in Surrey.
Yeah. My dad's from South Wales, and he felt the same thing when he moved over here too, so I completely understand that. So it also seems like White was dealing with so many different issues across her novels. So for example, she deals with sexual assault in Left for Dead, and the ordinary struggles of middle-class women in Retreat in Good Order. What do you think inspired her to tackle these difficult themes?
Well, she grew up as a Roman Catholic, and she went to some Roman Catholic boarding schools, and I think they were actually quite feminist. I've read up about them, and I think they were really engaged in women's education, the nuns, and that's maybe a surprising thing. One sees religions as generally conservative, but I think in this case there was a kind of all women environment, which was about nurturing young women, educating them. So she went from boarding school to live in Cambridge, and then won a scholarship to Girton College, which was a women's college in Cambridge, and studied English. And at that time, in the 50s, there were huge debates about women's place in society, fueled by Simone de Beauvoir. And she was obviously inspired by that particular debate and by Simone de Beauvoir. In fact, I really think that Retreat in Good Order is a direct response to Simone de Beauvoir's call for women novelists to write about ordinary women and ordinary women's lives. So I think it's directly inspired by the environment, by the debate, by the growth of literature, interest in literature in general, in Cambridge. And then afterwards, after she married Philip Brady, who's also a scholar in German studies, also writing about literature, but also very left-wing, a Marxist. I think the left, particularly the debates on the left about the relationship between individual emancipation and social change, that was all kind of part of a very intellectual life that she led. But at the same time, she got married, and there's an exhibition at the moment in Tate Britain, which is called Women in Revolt, and there's a marvellous list of things that women couldn't do in the early 60s, such as have their own bank accounts. One is shocked by the fact that it's not that long ago that women actually were not able to be independent people after they got married. So she'd got married, and she'd had a child, and so there she was, straight in that situation, herself experiencing it herself. And so I felt it was, looking at her history, It's her education and her experiences that she then expresses through each of her projects, which then become novels. Yeah.
I think it's brilliant that she was able to sort of like weave these threads together from her own personal experience and those intellectual debates. And finally, would you be able to give our listeners one research tip if they'd like to submit an entry to the Surrey Cultural Lives Map?
Oh, Surrey is bursting full of incredibly interesting people who are creative in all kinds of different ways. And I think it's great that there's this map that we can build up now to know not only about the really famous ones like Aldous Huxley and so on, but also about the whole background behind that, the sort of hinterland behind that. So I would say, you know, what I would be looking for would be people who have their own personal connections, who can get insight in ways that, you know, people working with books don't not always have access to. So what I noticed with my projects, for example, with Diana Pine, who was working on the nuclear history. It was great. I could find things in Kew at the National Archives there. And I found some relatives who could tell me a little bit about her. I have a great problem, though, with Annalee Thorndike, because I simply cannot get myself into contact with her descendants, family, and that makes life so difficult. But with Jane White, because she was my husband's mother, I obviously have a lot of access to the people who knew her, as well as the papers she left behind. So it's those things which are out there. We know they're out there. If you know someone, and you can bring any kind of insight into their creativity, bring it out. Here at Surrey University in the English department, obviously, where we're here ready to help and give tips and so on. Just come forward with whatever interesting people or things that you know about.
That's brilliant advice. Thank you so much, Helen. And thank you so much for your time and for sitting down with me today. It's been a fantastic episode, and I'm sure that our listeners will have learned a lot about Jane White. I definitely want to check out some of her novels now, and I can see you have some copies of Quarry. So, anyone who's listening, you can listen to Helen talk more about Jane White in further depth and see some physical copies of Quarry yourself on Tuesday, May 14th at 2 p.m. at Godalming Library. The link for tickets will be in the episode description for this podcast, but you can also find it on the Godalming Library website. If you'd like to enter the Surrey Cultural Lives competition, remember to submit your 500-word entry on someone who has shaped Surrey's cultural landscape to sllresearch@surrey.ac.uk by midnight on Friday the 14th of June for the chance to win £250. Thank you for listening, and look out for the next episode next month.